Hello, everybody. We're going to get started. So I would like to welcome everybody. I see a lot of new faces. I kind of did some recruiting because I wanted to get some parents involved. I know that was one of our goals, was to try to get more parents involved. And all these lovely ladies are employed at the hospital, and they have kids in the school district, so I figured let's get them involved, and I appreciate you guys for coming. But I would like to go around and introduce ourselves so everybody knows who everybody is.
I'm going to pass this around. If you would, put your name and your email information on here, because our new secretary will be sending that out. Our old secretary.
Kids to retire. Y'all, this is from 2009.
Kathy!
So it's time for me to hang her up.
It's time. Do you want to go start with introducing yourself?
Oh, I'm Wanda Hayes. I'm district nurse. Sorry.
I'm Tammy Brzozowski. I'm director of the Wellness Center, and I have a fifth grade boy and a first grade boy in school.
Hi, I'm Jadiana Bonds, and I'm a student here.
Yay, Jadiana!
My name is Dawn Green. I am peer liaison of the district, as well as the truancy officer of the district, and have other titles, you know, too. I'm all over the place.
Many hats.
Been with the district for 14 years.
My name is Marita Williams. I'm the McKinney Vento and foster care parent liaison.
Miss Williams is my coworker. We work closely together. So when you see her, you may see me, or if I'm not here, you fill in. If she's here, I'm not.
Bridget Cerny, Hyde Elementary principal.
Denise Gable, county extension agent for family and community health.
Courtney Shockrell, mental health counselor.
Lacey Tim Pong, a licensed professional counselor, and I have a lot of children. I have a 9th, a 10th, a 7th, a 5th, and 1 teacher.
Gina Rico, and my high school counselors.
Summer McDormand, one of the high school counselors.
Denise Dropkin is on the front side, and then I have a third grader and a first grader.
Parkside,
I have a third grader, seventh grader, and a sophomore.
Student services in the school.
Jennifer Jansen, I have a 10th grader and a 11th grader. And I work at the school. I have direct ICU.
I'm Samantha Sutton, and I have a 5th grade boy, and I'm the controller
at the hospital. I'm Tamara Kiner. I'm the marketing director at the hospital, and I have 3 boys here. A junior, 8th grade, and 3rd grade.
Kathy Seaman, let's see. I worked at the school district for five plus years, I think. That's how I got involved in SHAC. And then I've been at the hospital after that, and I've got finally my senior, my last one is a senior. So.
Yay.
And I need to talk to you, speaking of that.
All right, well, thank you guys for all coming. We're trying to, I know Wanda might be called out again, so we're going to try to get through this. So the minutes, the review of the minutes from April 12th meeting, we need to approve those, right?
Is that? Yes. So. For those of y'all that got them via email, did y'all read through? Okay.
So can I have a motion to approve those minutes from somebody?
I'll make a motion to approve them.
Anybody want to second that? If anybody who read the minutes. Thank you. Should we take a break to get food? If people want to eat?
Oh, we can, yeah. Let's get this motion.
Should we take a break to let people eat too?
Yes. Yeah. Let's go ahead and
look. Okay. Do the motion here and then.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, did we get it? We're good.
Did we have a second?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me go. We're going to break.
Okay. You want to take a break real quick for everybody?
So
y'all can eat, since I know a lot of you guys, this is your lunch break. So if y'all want to take a break and get some food, and then we'll proceed if anybody wants to eat. So go get your food.
chop, chop, chop.
Oh. Hey, you know me.
You know me. You know me.
It worked. Oh, yeah, I gave her a hard time.
She did. She gave me a hard time. I wasn't expecting that. Like, okay.
She got her voice out?
I did.
She's like, no, you were not.
I can be kind of mean sometimes. Oh, this isn't. This is
recording. Oh.
Should we pause?
Let's see.
Okay, everybody got the food. Y'all are good. Okay. So I first wanted to just kind of briefly explain what Shack is because we have so many new faces here. So I'm going to kind of read what is on the Texas Human Health and Human Services website. A school health advisory council is a group appointed by the school district to serve as at the district level. Members of the Shack come from different areas of the community and from within the school district. The majority of the members must be parents who are not employed by the district. Texas law requires the establishment of a Shack for every school district. Shacks are required to meet at least 4 times a year. Shacks assist the district in ensuring that local community values are reflected in health education instruction. Additionally, Shacks play an important role in strengthening the connection between health and learning. They can help parents and community stakeholders reinforce the knowledge and skills children need to stay healthy for a lifetime. The Texas Department of State Health Services has developed the Shack guidelines. So we've, I think we're good with the guidelines. We've looked over the guidelines, but I just wanted to kind of briefly explain what Shack is, what we do, and why we're here. And that was pretty much all I had about Shack. So we don't have a vice president right now, right, Wanda? So. Oh, yes. And then, so all of our minutes and we have to record the meetings and information about Shack is posted on the website, the school website. I'm assuming there's a whole
Yes, it's under Department Health and then Shack and then everything you can find there.
Yeah. Okay. So we have our reports updates. I'm president and I don't really have much to update right now. We don't have a vice president, so we're going right to Lacey with the CISD Mental Health Services.
For those of you that don't know, last year we got a new program or a new system, Navigate 360, for behavioral threat assessments and suicide assessments, so we can keep track and then we'll follow the student throughout their whole high school career. And then we all get notifications. So we still have that this year. And then we also have added T-Chat, and that's Texas Child Health Access through telemedicine. And it is therapy or psychiatric services or medication management. It's free for students and their families. And it's through at the school, I can sit with them and do a Zoom, and then the parent can be at home and get on their phone or their computer and do it. It is a short-term treatment, usually like 6 sessions, but they're not going to just stop treatment. They'll find this when you're coming out to them, and they can continue to work. So that's a really great thing for us here because we are in a rural community where we don't have a lot of psychiatrists or therapists, especially ones that aren't one or with children. So we just started that this year, and we've already done some referrals, so I think it's going to be really good for us.
It's at the point
they can't find
somebody to refer out to go
continue
treatment
until
they can.
I think it is the other one.
I think
this one.
So, email.
Okay, sorry.
And I guess adding on to what Lacey said, guys, our kids, I don't know what's changed. But I have a lot of heartaches and headaches at all the schools, as I know the counselors, kids are, I don't know, they're, I just had one tell me now, I don't want to be here anymore. We need to visit about that one when.
Yeah, we do a lot of suicide assessments.
We need more positive. These kids need more positive. They need less stress.
Less social media.
Less social media. And if everyone in this world would be kind, we could change kids, I think. But continue praying for children. And guys, y'all are, I mean, really, this is the group. I mean, the vapors came because they were kind of the vaping system that the Tech's kids are vaping at school. It happened because of this group. I mean, it was kind of on the back burner here, and it was said do it, and it was done in a very short amount of time, and they're making a big difference.
I do want to say thank you to high school. I know some of the kids had asked through student council, I guess, about doing a suicide prevention t-shirt day, and that got approved, so I do appreciate that.
This week on Thursday.
Can we buy the shirts?
Yeah, I think it's just wear orange or yellow.
You wear orange or yellow, but they do have shirts for that and for mental health awareness. I don't think you can usually buy through Mental Health America or something, but I am going to see if junior high will do it as well, so hopefully they will, because it's a good cause.
Well, and are y'all doing, I was just curious if there was going to be like posters or anything that a little step above and beyond just the orange and yellow is with, like, I mean, student council, somebody maybe. I mean, if you reach out to some of those kids, maybe they would be willing to make a little poster real quick and put it up with like the prevention hotline or straight to, I don't know, maybe that's outreach.
You think you can help us with that, Tatiana? Can you get a group of kids working with Miss Rico and make some signs for?
Right.
Just to have some.
Yeah, because I think it's this whole month, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just something maybe to.
Our kids could do it, maybe. Like something
for
pretty.
Kids to
you know
where
that.
To get that information. Because now that I'm sitting here thinking about this, I was texted this weekend from a community member about a situation. And I did not ask for names because I did not want to know names, but it was a situation of suicide, and I told them to go to the ER and that we would take care of both of them there, but to go to the ER, and if they wouldn't go willingly, to call 911.
Yes.
But people don't know, you know, so if there's a way that we can help at the hospital get this type of information out with where, you know, if suicide's a thing and that's this month, you know, let us partner with you. Me being the marketing person, I'm so happy to do that. Blast it out on all the social media that these kids are on. Put it on TikTok to where that will show up when they're TikToking. It'll show up as they're at.
They are, like, now too, they can do their crisis text line, and if they don't want to call the number, they can text, and it is, they're trained. They don't get paid, but they are trained. Some of them are licensed therapists to deal with crisis situations. So they can just text whatever they want into that number, and then somebody will be there and talk to them.
Well, could we use like the emergency call-out system where, you know, you get the calls from Quero stating tornado, whatever? I mean, could we do that for those kind of things? Does anybody know? Do you have anything, Denise, through your group that would?
As far as marketing or program?
Either? All? Above?
We do have, and I think I sent that to you last year. We have a program on mental health awareness, and it's for youth or adults. And we have certified trainers that can come down. It's all, I can't tell you the price, if it's a cost or if it's free.
Is that the one, mental health first aid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got a group of us scheduled to do that on the 19th.
Good. Where are y'all going for that?
The trainers come in here. It's just hard.
Yeah. But they can do it for the kids as well. It's just scheduling a, you know, I know y'all's schedules are very tight with everything, but it's, it would have to be a.
I would like to do a big thing and involve even more cities like Relay for Life, because it's that, it's in all of our lives. Excuse me.
Need to go.
It's the high score.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's go to Courtney. You want to go ahead and give us an update and kind of just let us know what you do with Midcoast and all that, so they know.
So I'm a licensed professional counselor, just like Lacey, and I'm housed at Hunt Elementary. But this year, I'm also helping with referrals at high school, since we do have so many suicide cases going on. So I'm helping out with referrals there. At Hunt, we work with Midcoast, and they come in and work with our at-risk kids, do like small groups and help promote like self-esteem, respectfulness, friendship, kindness, things like that. And that we did that last year, and we had a high number of kids participate, and so we brought it back this year. Just now getting the forms out, so I'm not sure how many kids we'll have, but it was really popular last year. The kids enjoyed it, and so we're going to see if we can get the same response this year.
Yeah, you do.
So.
Yeah, thank you, Courtney. Okay, Wanda might have to leave, so we're going to try to get to her section next. So let's see, but if in the meantime, while she's over there, we can go to Denise, and you can kind of give us an update. When she comes back, we'll...
You may wait until she gets back
now. No, you can go. Well, you want to go ahead and do your part real quick? Or are you good? Okay. We'll go ahead and do Wanda's part, and then we'll come back to... to you, Denise. So, Wanda, do you want to...
Under old business? Can we do that? Can we go off the agenda?
Mm-hmm, as long as you're present, so she can...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to go to old business
Yeah,
first?
Let's go to that.
Okay, you know, we talked about at several of the meetings last year in the group then, which all are a new group of parents, and that's one of the main reasons that the school health advisory exists, is to decide which curriculum you want taught to your kids. Sex ed, human trafficking, violence, dating violence, parenting and paternity awareness, all of those subjects. And we decided they are using, it's called Health Education Today, and we brought it up on the screen and we went through all the different aspects. It covers everything really well. A couple of different parents have looked at it. Health teachers have looked at it. We have a new teacher to health this year that really liked it. My input is that it's a little bit outdated, so I would like to see us, it's $400. I would like to see us buy that new version, and I would like that to be a goal for us this year, is to make sure that we're teaching what you want your kids to know. The big thing that's changed about the legislation laws, the parent used to, if you didn't get your permission slips back, everybody was in. Now they have to say yes or no. And so when we're not getting them back at all, it's hard because, you know, you have a lot of kids that, for whatever reason, we're not getting stuff back. But the health teachers attached it to their curriculum this year, so we've gotten them all back, I think. It includes CPR, all the things that when you're teaching health. But so I would like to, if the group agrees, recommend just updating our health education today to begin using this semester, and then we can look into it more through a subcommittee.
That could be one of our goals, too. Because we have goals down there.
Do we need a motion for that?
Does that go to new business, or... Can we make a motion at this point? Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we update the curriculum.
Thank you.
To the information that Ms. Hayes just shared.
The newer version of Health Education Today. Okay. Then we had talked about, we spent a lot of time talking about snacks and healthy food. I am so sorry.
Thank you. I was waiting.
Sorry.
Thank you, Leslie.
We have an approved snack list, which I don't even know if parents know that. It's in our handbook. It's in our wellness plan. Because of cost, several different reasons, excuse me, teachers are having to really be food police. And I had a couple of the teachers, because this was by teacher request. Teachers were tired of seeing unhealthy things being brought in for the students. We would like to kind of watch for now, but we still would like something that says no energy drinks, no caffeine, and no candy or high sugared snacks, if the group is okay with that. Because, you know, healthier things are more expensive, and people are really having a hard time now.
One of the things we see commonly at elementary, unfortunately, is yes, we can prevent it during the snack time, but we're not allowed to prohibit anything during the lunch time. And we'll have students bring in a really large, like a liter of Dr. Pepper and Takis, and that's what they're trying to eat for lunch. So when we see that, we try to encourage them to go get a free lunch, because that's just not, and this is like an everyday thing. It's not just a once in a while. It's just not healthy for a 8 to, 11-year-old age group, in my opinion. Some of them bring energy drinks at that age. I mean,
that can't happen. Energy drinks. I'll call parents. That's how we've handled it before. Just let me know what kids. I mean, we had 2 4-year-olds that they put a Red Bull in the lunch every day. No, ma'am, no. I took vital signs and got the parent up to see what that kid looked like. Let me know. I will go out there and stop that.
Are you not going to have the list anymore?
We're going to put a link on the website that's healthy suggestions and like resources, and we're going to reword it to say no energy drinks, candy. And I really think we should say no peanuts or peanut butter, because there's just too many kids.
Oh, I still have the list this year.
Yeah, well, we're wanting to change
that.
It.
I like that, so that way I can tell my kid, no, you can't take it because it's not on the list.
Well, I mean,
That's true. Yeah, that is.
That's one decision for this group.
Yeah. I like the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to school,
I personally like it too.
Okay.
Maybe the list and just say, like, health, like you said, healthy suggestion. Yeah. Here's some options. Healthy snacks. I don't think you should get rid of the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is our legality of it? What are we? But didn't you say something about the rules have changed and what we can say, suggest, do?
No, that was with that cupcake girl. Lauren's law or something. Yeah, that was the cupcake girl, not the healthy snack.
Yeah, that we're okay with.
This is local. This is a local policy. We're just wanting to see kids healthier.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But I knew we had some.
Yeah, I remember that.
Last time
was that law.
Was like,
yeah.
Okay, that's law.
And I will send an email, because it was elementary teachers actually, and it was just a couple. You know, the kids are bringing Cheetos and. You know, and they said, well, we're telling them they can't have it, and so they're hungry. Mm-hmm. Unless we want to add Cheetos to the snack list.
Cheez-Its, it's on there, right?
Yeah.
Cheez-Its and
goldfish.
I like the list.
Chips, and you couldn't eat it, and all that. But I get it at the same time. But if you compare it to Cheez-Its has got a lot of calories in it.
True.
And they're just as bad as
they're
Cheez-Its.
Just pretty much as bad,
so,
yeah.
Just saying.
If you actually look at the calories on both of them, they're probably pretty equal.
Add chips.
Snack size.
I mean,
snack size.
Snack chips. Snack size chips. I don't.
I mean, you have to specify. They'll be bring no time.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't put chips.
Oh gosh.
Never mind. Don't put chips.
Maybe we shouldn't put chips.
I think this is a really good list.
I think
there's a lot of choices on there.
That's kind of weird, right? So many people actually mean bagels.
Sister.
Do they actually bring bagels? I'm just asking. Bagels. Does anybody bring bagels?
Okay, so I guess I need
bagels
in here.
How do we do that?
My kid would never bring a bagel. But.
Consider removing approved snack list. We make a motion to not, or we just, if we don't want to remove it, we take no action.
Huh? Wait, what did
we're just considering removing, so we need to just, after discussion, which we've discussed, we want to, the motion will be to leave these. List the recommended list, right? As part of what we have planned out or whatever.
So somebody
can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you make
the motion?
I'll make the motion.
to
make
the list and add the restrictions
yes.
of no sodas, no energy drinks, no peanuts or peanut products.
Okay.
No talkies.
No talkie.
Becky seconds the motion.
Okay, what else? What else? Okay, our new PE health curriculums, which I think the only one that changed, our current one that we've used is CATCH, and it's a coordinated school health approach, and I think that they were having at Hunt, they found better. And so, Ms. Cerny, do you want to?
Sure. Our committee did a thorough review of both CATCH and Quaver, and they're both equally good curriculums. However, we selected to go with the Quaver because we use it with our music and fine arts program, and it integrates really well. And there's a lot of cross-curricular components, and so our students are already familiar with that platform. Also, within this Quaver curriculum, just some of the highlights, they did a very good job of varying the student groups, and it was very age-appropriate for our upper elementary kids versus some of the cartoonish, more juvenile type characters that were portrayed in the CATCH curriculum that was better geared toward the lower elementary. And so for those reasons and a plethora of others, I have a whole list here, we did also a analysis of the TEKS that are included within the Quaver curriculum, and we looked at all the indicators and we wanted to make sure they matched up really well with what our students are expected to learn. And so we found that this curriculum better matched that component too.
Okay.
And so we went with that. One of the things that we also liked is our coaches can use it where they record themselves and portray it, so it's very customizable, and all the teachers on campus have access to it. There's an SEL component that Ms. Shuffle can use in her guidance classes. That's excellent. We've used it before, and very well received. Any questions about the curriculum?
They did, like Ms. Cerny said, she brought a huge list of what the committee reviewed, and y'all did a great job. Thank you. So they basically did all of our work, and all we have to do is say that this will be our recommendation for the school board.
Okay, so the recommendation would be that John C. French keeps
CATCH,
and then Hunt goes to Quaver with the PE and health, and then junior high and high school stick with CATCH. Is that correct? Okay, so no motion. She moves as recommended.
I second it.
Okay.
All right, where are we at now?
Back to Denise.
So we covered everything. What about this? Election of
officers. Oh, we need to elect officers.
Okay, so I think we've already, Tamara is going to graciously take over as secretary, right?
I can't spell, but I'll do it. I'm just letting you know now.
And then I think, well, what else do we, need a
vice
president? Anybody want to be vice president? Nobody wants to.
And it can't be school employees, so right. That cuts us out.
Lose us out. Darn.
I don't mind.
Oh, Denise, thank you.
Denise. Don't be absent.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right, great. Well, that was easy. Mm. Easier than I thought. All right. So let's move.
Yes. I make the motion. Do I need separate?
You can do.
That we elect Tamara Kiner for the office of secretary and Denise Gable for the office of vice president.
And I second that motion.
For school health advisor.
You don't have to vote, right?
Yes, all in favor, aye. Opposed, same sign.
I had a meeting yesterday that we
motion carries.
I think everybody's okay with it, right? Okay, let's
not, step up.
Right, exactly. Let's go ahead and move on then. Denise, if you would like to give us an update.
Sure. So
going back to the mental health deal, there is, and I brought this with me today. It actually just came in today via email from our, I'm going to pass that down to them. Or I guess I could have split that. We have an office up there that's what they do. They work with getting stuff together for SHAC and other school-related events. And so this is she sends out a newsletter quarterly to us, and this was the one that just came out, School Health Happening. So there's a lot of good resources in here, and I was just looking that there is one on, this is Navigating Mental Health in the School Environment, and there's a good resource that got them a register, or they're recorded, and you can go back and look at them. There's another one that is Texas School Health, Mental Health Resource, and that is something that there is a website there, Texas School Mental Health website, and it aims to provide districts and campuses with resources to help develop a comprehensive school mental health system. So that's, you know, what we're looking at. That is something that school toolkits, training, and events are all available for that. So I think between what Extension offers and what this offers, maybe we can get something good to present to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to review that. Like I say, I mean, it was hot off the press at noon, so I printed it an hour before I came.
Okay. So maybe next meeting we can talk.
Yeah, we'll
more.
Do this
yeah.
and dig into it and see if there's
right.
anything else that we can bring forward that we can have. You know, the other thing we have is that when Sean speaks, you know, that's a good program. Have we had that here
mm-hmm.
recently?
Yeah.
It's been a few years ago. And that, the junior high came, didn't they, as well? I think that was a big...
I remember that, when I was in high school.
Yeah, and I mean, it's to this day, so it's really good. Yeah, he makes an impact. He's just mm-hmm. very, and that during COVID they quit.
Yeah.
So I think we had him right before COVID hit. So it's been 2 or 3 years at least that we've had him. So that's something that we could bring back, the distracted driving. Bobby Brooks is with that program. Watch Your Back. It's got vaping. Did you meet with us with Bobby that time? I know Wanda did. I know
no.
did. She's got all the e-cigarettes. She's got all that stuff. If that's something y'all still want to address, those are all free resources that they come to the schools for free.
Okay.
And other than that, the small educational programs that I can come in and do, you know, one-shot kind of things. I'm still working with French. We're going to keep their garden going over
okay.
there. I worked with Christy at Hunt, Christy Fuchs,
mm-hmm.
and we did a wildlife habitat. And
okay.
so I don't know if their wildlife flowers that we planted are coming up yet or not, but she's done a very good job with that program.
The potatoes sure took off.
The potatoes did?
Oh my goodness.
That's funny.
Maybe
That's
the wildlife will enjoy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's things you don't want to really go to redo, and the things you do. But anyway, so that's
okay.
really.
Yeah.
There are a lot of educational resources that we can get out there, and this is something that they started last year, I think, with Alice Kirk. Is the one who does this, and so anyway, she is. It's all about child health. So anything we can get into the schools,
yeah,
there's resources in there.
Great.
And if we need more copies. Or if somebody wants me to email it to them so they can actually click on the link,
mm-hmm.
I can do that. I can email it out to that list if you'd like.
Yeah, or, you know, we can get it to Tamara or something,
yeah,
and Tamara can...
I'll email
yeah.
it to you, and then
she'll have the list.
On the next set and put it in there.
Yeah, we can kind of filter that through her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
I can do that.
All right, thanks, Denise. Ruby, you want to go ahead and
sure.
your update?
Sorry, I wasn't here for introductions. My name is Ruby Rodriguez. I'm project director for Innovative Approaches to Literacy Grant and also special programs coordinator for several different programs that we currently have in place. We had a big meeting this summer. As you know, after the Uvalde school shooting, Governor Abbott came down
with several requirements and mandates to enhance and improve school safety. As part of that, we were all required, even former team members, we were all required to attend school behavioral threat assessment training. We have safe and supportive teams at every campus and at the district level that help investigate threats, reduce violent acts and to others, and also self-harm. So what Dr. Dyer arranged, our superintendent arranged for Region 3 to provide the training here on site so that all team members could be present. And we actually went through several tabletop exercises. That training took place on July 28th. We had 30 plus members in attendance, and we also had local law enforcement and our school resource officers. The training was very well presented. It was provided by Elias Moya, who is our Region 3 safety lead, and he's also a former sergeant for the Victoria County Sheriff's Department. So he gave us really great insight. We had human trafficking and child abuse awareness training. This is an annual training that all staff in schools are required to attend. Our first training was August 1st, and for those that couldn't make it then, we offered a second training August 26th. The training, although annual, it's very informative. It informs staff about current issues regarding sexual abuse and human trafficking. Oftentimes, the way we describe or imagine human trafficking is not what actually is happening. So there's just different forms of child abuse and human trafficking that take place. And they also shared with us the populations that are most vulnerable.
Thank you, Tatiana.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. You want to take anything else? Grab you a cup of dessert.
So quiet.
I know.
How do I get this out?
I help her, Ms. Rita. There's a cup right there to the right. So they did discuss the different populations that are most vulnerable at being at risk for being abused and trafficked. It also included the legal and mandatory requirements for reporting. This is what the poster looks like that we have. It says, it's okay to tell, say no, go to a safe place, tell a trusted adult. So this poster is at all the campuses, and it's at eye level for the students to see, and it's posted in all kinds of places, restrooms, right at the water fountains, cafeteria, hallways. So you'll see this poster out and about, both in English and Spanish. It is part of the requirement of encouraging students, if you see something, say something. It's never safe to keep a secret, and it works. We have reports made all the time to a trusted adult. On July 13th, we had a big district-wide meeting regarding school safety updates, and this one was a really big one. We were required through TEA and Governor Abbott, we were required for each campus had to complete a summer targeted partial safety audit. They reviewed all the exterior doors of their campuses. They reported the types of locks and mechanisms they had in place. They also went through their visitor protocol and reported back to the team. We all brought the information back and met with our safety and security committee. The safety and security committee meets 3 times per year, and it's a public meeting. I can't share the minutes of that meeting yet with you because we haven't officially met yet to approve the minutes. But in that meeting, we discussed all the exterior doors, how to enhance safety and security at all campuses. They scheduled mandatory drills for the 22-23 school year. And of course, we could ensure prior to that all of our team members were trained with behavioral threat assessment. And we reviewed and updated as needed any access control procedures. The meeting went very well. We're putting different safety procedures in place, and we haven't had any complaints yet from parents. If anything, they're very cooperative, giving us good feedback. And the Safety and Security Committee will meet again in the fall, so we're looking at maybe October. That's it. I can share that with you, Kathy. I know I have a whole newsletter.
She's like, I can't run that fast.
I'll share it with okay. you.
Thank you, Ruby, for that update. <y'all. laughs>
And I want to just add, so remind me, just because I want them to know.
Sure.
If y'all haven't gone out onto the CISD website, there is, like, if students want to report something,
oh, yes.
but they want to be anonymous, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is an
anonymous report.
Tell them where that is, if y'all remember in the... Somewhere on the website, though, there's
an anonymous alert system that you can even get an app,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll send it to the administration so that we can investigate.
Yeah, just so you guys.
Yes,
know
if you're on the if you go to the parent community tab, it's one of the first drop down links that becomes available when you click on that menu, and it's a complete anonymous system. I've asked
for. Right, down here it says anonymous alert.
I've asked school resource officers, our students using that, they do. So many kids nowadays feel so safe having a trusted adult. They go to our school resource officers and share concerns. We have it happen all the time. So it is in place. Adults can use it. Parents can use it. It's just not for students. Anyone can use it.
Has that been sent out?
It's shared out. It's on the website. And then we share it out on Facebook. I can actually... put out another social media blast just so it stays something current and shows on the news feed. I'll be happy to do that.
And we at the junior high met with each grade by boys and girls, and we told them about the anonymous alerts. And also that they could come and talk to us, see something, say something. But we told them about that too. So at the beginning of the year.
I can actually pin it on the top too.
Our signs at the school say things.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. Have Dawn and Rita, do you guys want to give us an update on your student service?
Okay. Last month, in the month of August, we had served 116 students. We have a food bank backpack that go home every Friday with the students, and we have right now 61 kids on our list. All 61 of them will receive a backpack every Friday. The foster care list, we have six foster care students at French. We have 10 at Hunt. The junior high, we have six. High school, we have five. So we have a total of 27 foster kids at the campus. At the school district. And McKinney-Vento list, we have 20 at J.C. French. We have 19 at Hunt. We have at the junior high, we have 16. And at the high school, we have 21. We have a total of 76 McKinney-Vento students.
Can you explain what that is?
Let me explain. Ms. Williams has been in my department. This is her second year in the student services department. And what student services do, we provide social service needs for the district, students and parents as well. We pretty much focus on the McKinney-Vento at-risk kids. But however, we will not leave any kid out. We provide clothing to school students in the district, school supplies, anything from hygiene to undergarments to shoes to belt, you name it, we have it. And we also partner with the community, like churches within the community, businesses in the community. They donate a lot to our department because that's what they do, that's what they like to do. It's all about the kids in the community. And they, you know, help us out with anything, you know, from same thing, school supplies, clothing, whatever they can get. You know, they will, you know, donate it to our department. Also, the staff, the employees within the district as well, because nowadays kids only wear God of Spirit shirts. They done outgrown polo shirts. So that's what we've always been short of, was a polo shirt, because, you know, by the time we get our purchase order, pretty much all the, you know, the gear at the store is all gone already. So just this year, I sent out a district-wide email asking the staff, faculty, you know, if they have clothing, jeans, you know, from God of Spirit shirts, basically God of Spirit shirts. If, you know, if they're getting, you know, rid of purging their closet, they can just donate those to our department, which we've had a tremendous turnout with that, you know. On top of that, we had other non-school items as well, so we donate those out also. But we do a lot within our department. We provide transportation to students if the parents aren't at home, they can't get in contact with them. We make home visits. If a parent can get their, you know, get to the school for like an art or teacher conference, you know, we'll provide transportation, which we get that referrals, we receive referrals from the campuses, whether it's the principals, the teachers, if there's a red flag on the student, you know, they'll let us know about that. So what we do, before we do anything, you know, we contact the parents, making sure it's okay, you know, hey, you know, we're, you know, going to provide some shoes or clothing for your kid, is that okay? Some parents say yeah, so it's fine. Some parents like, nah, we don't need it, which, you know, we understand that we're okay with that. And as for the food bank program, we partner with the food bank out of Victoria. We partner with them. So since COVID has, you know, since the COVID pandemic, they have gone unlimited. So they're not leaving any kids out. Before the COVID, they only had a limited number of students that we would provide services to. But now since COVID, it's unlimited. We can get anywhere from 100. I think last year we may have received over 100 referrals from the campuses, the teachers. You know, because they see a kid maybe asking another kid for food, or they see a kid cleaning their plate. So to me, that's a red flag. So they would send that referral over to us. So we do send those. It's a little goodie bag. It's a Ziploc bag with like anything from boxes of milk, cereal, could be Vienna sausages, spaghetti, things like that. So we'll send that home every Friday. You know, we'll let the teachers know, please don't give this back to the student in front of the other students because that student may be embarrassed. So we ask, you know, at some point in time, just give it to them, you know, so they can take it home. But it does, it's always where the kids, you know, when they see us coming, they run to us. So therefore, the other kid's going to see it and they'll say, okay, what, can we get some? Can we get some? It's just basic, you know, just kids. And sometimes we just take an extra bag and we have any extra, we just give it to the teacher and say, hey, split it amongst, you know, your kids. But we do a lot. We service campuses when there's a need, you know, for, like we were just at John C. French the other day for the Grandparent Day. We'll help out Ms. Cerny when she calls us. Any campus that, you know, they need help, we're there to service them. Like I got a call a few minutes ago, y'all heard my phone ring. I had to go, you know, assist with an issue on the high school campus. But we're always being called out. We hardly ever in our campus. But if you already know of any parents that need any type of services, don't hesitate. And with me being a truancy officer, you know, it's attendance. I go banging, knocking on doors, finding out why these kids are not at school. We get the referrals from the campuses as well. And there's some families that I can talk to, you know, at my tone of voice, that some you have to be, you know, kind of, well, different, you know. But I'm from Quero, everybody know me, so, you know, whatever. But Ms. Williams, she does a lot since she's come on in our department. She's done a lot. She's learned a lot. So she's a McKinney-Vento homeless, which are the kids, the parents who live in RV trailers, hotels, living out on the streets, whatever. You know, we get those referrals from the campuses. We send out communication. They'll let us know. And we get surveys every year. It's called a questionnaire, student questionnaire. When we get those, there's a couple of questions on there. If they check a yes on that, we have to verify whether or not they are homeless, you know, McKinney-Vento, whatever. So that's the numbers that she's giving out because she has to keep this on a monthly basis, turn that in, and that's, you know, how they, you know, look at, I'm not sure really how y'all look at that.
Yes, ma'am.
But that goes to Dr. Pam and, you know, so Ms. Williams, she spends time doing that because it's not easy doing a chart or graph or whatever. But we work closely together. You know, it's two of us, used to be tons of us years ago. But we work closely together and we provide the service, you know, the best that we can, and, you know, we do whatever we can. If it's filling in for a campus, whenever they're short-staffed or whatever the case may be, the two of us are there to help out.
If we would want to donate, how do we do so?
I can give you my email address, just email me. We're only taking school-approved items because right before when we came back on the 1st, we were getting tons of stuff, like it was garage sale stuff. So I had to send out an email, wait a minute. We only need school approved items because we're going through all those bags. You know, we'll go through them. So I'll give you my email address. I didn't bring the cards with me. My email and contact number, and you're welcome to call me anytime.
We're in the Goblin Getaway anyway.
That's the opposite. Yeah, right behind the tennis court. The building right behind the tennis court. It has student services. It used to be the old cafeteria. There you go, Ms. Turner. It has Gobbler Getaway Student Services on there. So there's two double doors facing the tennis court. Just bang hard on it, and we'll answer.
And Dawn, real quick, one more thing is our 4-H programs. I will get all our 4-H moms over there. We're always looking to donate to things too, and so clubs are looking for community service. That's something. If you give me a list of things, if y'all are ever in need of, we can get that to you.
And also, we have, if y'all know of any family or the hospital who wanted it, we have hand sanitizer, tons of hand sanitizer left at our office that Food Bank donate to us. We have boxes of scissors, the pointed scissors, you know. So we take those also to other, like St. Michael's. We take them to St. Michael's. We take them to Mission Valley.
West Off.
We take stuff to the daycares, you know, because we had pallets of it, you know. So if you all know, or if your department can use some, don't hesitate, because we want to, you know, we don't want to just keep it year after year. We want to get rid of it. Or if you know families, because you guys work at the hospital, you see families coming all the time. You know, just let us know, and hey, we can get that to y'all. We'll get it to you. Yeah.
And one of our kind of biggest donors is HEB, give us school supplies or whatever else they're giving away for students. Walmart give us school supplies too.
And so we have a huge support. The community is very supportive.
And on the McKinney-Vento that Ms. Green was sharing with you, that's actually part of the student registration packet. Mm-hmm. So when you were registering your students online, there was a few questions on there. Are you doubled up? Are you living in an RV? Are you an or a hotel? Are you an unaccompanied youth? By selecting yes on any of those, that alerts them that they need to contact this family or student. And being McKinney-Vento means that, yes, they don't have a fixed sleeping area. They don't have a fixed home where that is safe and adequate for sleeping. So they will be indicated as McKinney-Vento for the entire year, which helps them become eligible for student services, free and reduced lunch.
Okay. And we work with the food bank. Our students can apply for food stamps, Medicaid, TANF and all that, and you can apply. If you're homeless and you're 15, you can apply for that. 15, 16, 17, 18. Mm-hmm. So we get them set up with that too.
Okay, great. Thank y'all. I think we're almost done because I know it's time. But do we have some, any health-related events happening coming up? I know you have some stuff with October if you want to tell everybody about.
Paint the town pink. We're asking for businesses and residents alike to either replace a light bulb on the porch to pink or a business light to pink. There's also some film that you can get at Amazon that'll even make an LED spotlight pink. But we're going to ask the community to partner with us in that. We're making the hospital pink to promote breast cancer awareness in October. And we're trying to really get the word out for that. So.
And we have our turkey trot coming up, our 5K October 8th. So I encourage everybody to participate in that. It's always a fun time. And if you don't want to participate, you can always use volunteers too to help that morning. Okay, and our next meeting will be, is it going to be November, wait, November 8th? Is that
November 8th, yeah.
November 8th, is that what
it's usually on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
But is that election day?
Well, I don't know.
We found it happened.
I don't know.
That may be.
It is election day.
Is it? So should we?
That would be a Wanda question, really. Do we usually hold a shock on election day?
I think we have before.
Was it an issue?
I don't think so. It's okay. Just, do y'all utilize this area? Like, we use our classroom for...
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe, now that we have an elections office.
Y'all don't have any. Okay.
Okay.
See, because our hospital is right. A spot.
That's right.
So it could be
on the 8th.
I say we, yeah, if not, we'll, yeah, we'll do it the 8th. No, but next meeting will be November 8th. Same time, but if for some reason we need to reschedule it, we'll let, you know, Tamara will send out an email.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're done. Does anybody want a motion to?
Motion to adjourn.
And I'll second it.
All right, 1:30.
1:30, that's good.
All right.